more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you from the Omni Atlanta as Ion Travel continues for this second week of February 2025. Of course, if you want to reach me, that's a no-brainer. You just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. Let's go right to some of the emails. Here's one from Donald who writes, when you've discussed travel insurance, you mentioned the issue of pre-existing health conditions. You're right, Donald, I have. When taking out an annual Allianz insurance policy last year, I telephoned them about the issue because I do have existing health issues, namely a heart condition. First, they asked me what state I was in. And when I told them New York, this is interesting that he says this, they said that that section of my policy was waived for New York residents if a doctor had approved travel for me at the time I purchased the insurance policy. You know what? That's why you need to have a conversation. By the way, thank you for bringing that up, Donald, because that's why you need to have a conversation with a travel advisor or a travel agent when you buy travel insurance, because who else would know this? You're not going to read 80 pages of policy language that you can't understand anyway. And you know what? We love the idea that you live in New York and you still got the waiver. Every state is different. There are some states, even with rental car insurance, they don't even allow the rental cars to call it insurance because they're not registered as insurance salespeople. Interesting stuff. Thank you for letting us know, Don. Every state, different requirements and waivers for getting travel insurance, and that's critical. Okay, here's one from Naresh who says, we submitted a detailed complaint through United's website on an issue we had with United Airlines. But unfortunately, we never received any follow-up or correspondence. When we checked the status of our claim, we were surprised to find it had been closed without any explanation, and then we noticed that United had credited her with a $300 travel voucher. But we were hoping for a partial refund on her $3,000 ticket instead. What's been most frustrating is how difficult it's been to get in touch with anyone at United to discuss our concerns. The lack of communication has left us feeling stuck. Okay. Here's the problem, Naresh. You didn't tell me what the problem was. You didn't tell me what she was seeking from that $3,000 original ticket purchase and what the circumstances of that ticket purchase were and maybe still are. So please email me again, peter@petergreenberg.com, and give me more details of what the issue was, what amount the ticket was, what the issue was in terms of why it wasn't used, what restrictions there may have been on the ticket, and then what were the circumstances of why she wasn't able to fly. Then we can actually have a more informed decision about how we can proceed to try to help you. Okay? There you go. And here's one from Ron, who says, my wife and I are cruising to Southampton in London, in the UK, from Fort Lauderdale, staying on the ship to tour Ireland. We are flying one way from Southampton to Savannah, Georgia. We have TSA pre-check and would like your opinion on purchasing Clear for international travel. Would you recommend? Also, should we wait to purchase a flight since the return date is not until April 24th? Okay, first things first. TSA PreCheck doesn't work in Southampton, number one. It only works on USA flights. That's number one. Same thing for Clear. So now, do I recommend you buy it, get TSA and Clear? If you're going to do more than two or three flights a year, why not? It makes a huge difference in the lines that you stand in many times. That's number one. Number two, the other thing you want to try is Global Entry. That really does kick in if you're flying home from Southampton because that's operated by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. You have to apply for it. You have to do it very quickly because your flight's coming up in the next 3 months, and sometimes it takes more than that to get it. But you really want it because if you apply for Global Entry and you get it, they throw in a pre-check as part of the deal. It's good for 5 years. It's one of the best investments you will ever make, okay? Simply because who wants to fly 11 hours on a flight and then have to wait 2 hours to clear customs and immigration? Global Entry lets you swing right by in less than 30 seconds. And, of course, you beat your luggage out every time, but at least you're clear. And so check that out. Now, you have a second question. And that is, should we wait to purchase a flight since the return date is not until April 24th? Well, here's the deal. Double check to see that April 24th doesn't coincide into spring break or Easter. And then, right now, there's no reason to wait to purchase it. You're well within, you know, the 54 days that we're talking about about between now and the date of your flight. So go ahead and do that. I'm assuming you're buying a one-way ticket. Now, sometimes the one-way ticket can be very inexpensive if it's a certain time of the year, and sometimes it can be wildly expensive. And when that happens, you know what I do? I give myself a present. I buy a return ticket. So I buy a round-trip ticket from Southampton to Savannah and then back to Southampton sometime in August. It might actually be cheaper, and at least then you have an option, if you're sitting around doing nothing in August, to go back and visit all your new friends you just made in April. So just a thought about that. Remember, we have a lot of airlines to thank these days, like JetBlue and Southwest, for pioneering the art of selling the one-way ticket. And it really does make a difference. I was trying to fly from Chicago to Istanbul and then return from Istanbul to New York, and I tried to do it as a multi-city round-trip ticket. The coach ticket was $2,900. I broke it up into two one-ways. My Chicago to Istanbul ticket was $481. My Istanbul to New York ticket was $781. I saved almost $1,600 by breaking it up and not buying it as a round-trip ticket. And now you know. All right, well, we come back, we'll be joined by Ernie Suggs, the Enterprise Reporter. I love his title for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, with his update on the most evolved city in America these days, and evolving, that would be Atlanta. Back right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Need more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues. Of course, you can always reach me. I know you can do this in your sleep, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones in Lake Barrington, a little bit north of Chicago. I got Paul on the phone. Hey, Paul.
Hello, Peter.
How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my question. My wife and I recently learned of your extensive travels in Turkey by viewing your Hidden Turkey production, which we thought was very informative and entertaining. I have a couple of questions. We are planning on traveling, actually, to Istanbul next month with another couple. We are due to arrive March 10th, and we'll be departing on March 13th, so a relatively short visit.
That's a very short visit.
As a result of the short visit, we want to make the most of our sightseeing ventures, and I was hoping you might be able to suggest a way to for us to find a reliable and trustworthy guide to help us on our venture.
Okay, so let me stop you there for one sec.
Sure.
A guide to what? We got to be specific here. Do you want to see the mosques? You want to see Topkapi? Do you want to see, or do you want to go to the covered bazaar? Do you want to just take a ride out in the Bosphorus? Do you want to go out to the Princess Island? What would you like to do?
Well, we certainly intend on spending a good deal of time in the Old City to visit the various mosques and Egyptian market and so on, as well as take a cruise on the Bosphorus and see the bridge, the Bosphorus Bridge, things of that nature. We're still sort of gathering our options and trying to find the popular places to go, but we'd like a guide especially to help us with off the beaten path places that are popular.
Well, it's more than just the off the beaten path places, it's access to those places, because you don't want to go and stand in line for 7 hours. You don't have the time, nor do you have the patience, and neither do I, by the way. So what I would do, and I do this in every town. Do you know where you're staying?
Yes, we're at the Le Meridien.
Okay, we know it. But what you can do, believe it or not, they have a very good concierge there. There's also an excellent concierge at a place you need to come visit anyway. That's the Shiran Palace, which is a hotel. It's a Kempinski hotel, but it's a former Ottoman palace. It's an amazing location right on the Bosphorus. Go see their concierge, tell them you know me, and they have a huge retinue of great guides who will either be historians or they'll be shopping experts, but either way, or they'll be great people to get you on the Bosphorus. But either way, the key here is to get you to a place where you're not standing in line, and you can get in ahead of everybody or go after everybody leaves. That's what you want to do.
Okay, very good.
So the concierge in both those hotels, they're both clé d'or. You know what clé d'or means?
I do not.
Clé d'or is French for the gold keys. That's the concierge society of totally professional concierges. Too many hotels these days will call their people at the front desk a concierge and give them a hat, but they're not experts. The clé d'or, these guys are like serious, and they can really hook you up with the right people.
Excellent. Okay, I appreciate that information.
And if you're going to go to Saint Sophia, you want to make sure they take you down to the cisterns. It's unreal. If you're going to go on the Bosphorus, make sure they get you on one of the ferries that takes you out to one of the Princess Islands. You asked about out-of-the-way places. It's where all the locals go, and tourists never go. You'll have an amazing time. And that's like a half-day trip, right? You go early in the morning. It takes you about an hour to get there. You're there for 3 or 4 hours. Come on back. It's great.
Excellent. Sounds wonderful. Quick question. Is it best, in your estimate, to carry euros and or lira as far as paying the local merchants and cabbies?
Well, here's the deal. I just take my credit cards. And what you do is, I'll tell you how you want to know how you can really negotiate great with credit cards and cash. Here's how you do it. I've been using it for years. Let's say you have an American Express card and you have a Visa card, all right? And you've got cash. So you go to a merchant, and when it's time to pay, whatever you're buying, whip out the American Express card. And they go, oh, no, because they don't want to pay a high commission. So you say, then you take out the Visa card and say, okay, how much for Visa? And they go, I'll give it a little bit less. And then you go, okay, and now how much for cash? So you used your credit cards to negotiate two discounts without ever using your credit cards. How about that?
Sounds wonderful.
Works every time. You should. And then if you are going to use a credit card and they give you a choice of whether you want it in Turkish currency or U.S. dollars, hit U.S. dollars.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because around the world now, a lot of merchants use something that's kind of sneaky called dynamic conversion, which means they determine what the exchange rate is as opposed to the official exchange rate, and you don't win any of that. So always pick U.S. dollars.
Very good. Okay.
I appreciate all the
information, sir.
Have a great time. And if you're going to take the ferry to the Princess Islands, stop at a bakery before you go and get some Turkish simit, the beautiful simit bread, and break it up into a little bag, and then go to the top deck of the ferry, and as you're heading to the islands, you'll be the most popular person for the seagulls. You'll have a great time. I'm telling you, you'll have a great time.
Very good. We will try that out. Thanks so much.
You got it, Paul. Hang in there and have a great trip, and we'll be back with more as Eye on Travel continues from Atlanta right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Now, back to Eye on Travel.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from the Omni right here in Atlanta at Centennial Park. Of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones. I've got Bob on the phone out there in Golden Valley, Minnesota, somewhat close to Minneapolis. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you.
Good. So how can I help you?
So I got half of my family that lives in Guadalajara, Mexico. And we're trying to figure out how or what's going to be the best route for us to take or which airline is going to be the best for direct flight from Minneapolis-St. Paul or MSP to Don Hidalgo Airport in Guadalajara. We've been using Delta to get from Minneapolis to Chicago, but Then we take Volaris out of Chicago to Guadalajara. So we're hoping that, do you have any advice on a better flight that can get us directly to Guadalajara out of Minneapolis?
Well, believe it or not, you're not going to get a nonstop. That's not going to happen. You know that. But I will tell you this. I've had nothing but good experience with Volaris. A lot of people don't know the airline. They fly to about 22 different cities in the U.S. from places like Guadalajara and Mexico City. And you got to admit the price is right.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I want to give you an idea. I actually flew from Tijuana to JFK with a stop in Mexico City. My airfare was $63.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the price is incredible.
Exactly. So the only thing I would tell you is, because you'll be changing terminals at O'Hare, is to give yourself at least 2.5 hours of connect time just in case there's weather or a delay.
Okay.
So I know you wanted a nonstop flight from Minneapolis to Guadalajara. My understanding is Volaris does not fly that nonstop, but they do go out of Chicago, and they're an excellent airline. They fly new planes, and they do a great job.
Perfect.
And enjoy it. I'll tell you a funny story. The very first time I went to Guadalajara, I was actually thrown out. I was taken to the airport, armed guards, thrown out and flown back to California.
Oh my gosh, what did you do?
Well, I was a correspondent for Newsweek magazine. We were doing a story about all the American medical students who couldn't get into a U.S. medical school, who were going to school down at the Universidad Autónoma de Guadalajara so that they could get their medical degree. And when we got down there, the school was owned by a family that was so politically to the right, the required courses for medical students was why we needed to win the Vietnam War. We thought that was a weird curriculum to teach medical students. And so when they found out I was doing the story, I was like escorted out of the country. But in later years, I've gone back many times, have totally enjoyed myself. So I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely. And we feel pretty safe down there because, you know, our family is from Mexico. My wife is from Mexico. So, you know, people sometimes worry about the safety down there, but it depends on where you go, just like in any large city in the United States. It just depends on where you go. But we really enjoy our time down there with our family.
Well, I'll tell you this, Bob. You know, the U.S. State Department, it happens every spring. They just issued another State Department advisory for Americans going down for spring break in places like Cancun. And you know what? Those advisories, more often than not, are misleading and incorrect. You know, if somebody gets their purse snatched in Mexico City, the State Department issues an advisory. You can get your purse snatched in Moline. You know, it's not really that big of an issue here. And it shouldn't be a big of an issue there other than basic common sense. We're not talking about drug violence. You know, they issue level 4 State Department advisories in Mexico, and those level 4 advisories say do not travel. But you know what? I don't know of any American who vacations in Ciudad Juarez or Nuevo Laredo. You're not doing that. There are 32 different states in Mexico, and unfortunately, these State Department advisories paint the picture with too broad a brush. So you're one of the smart travelers. Congratulations, Bob.
Very good, sir.
Hey, listen, thanks again for the call. Have a great trip down there, and enjoy Volaris because the price is definitely right.
Thank you, Peter.
Anytime, man. Thanks. You know, Bob's friends and my friends all share one thing in common. The worst four-letter word that starts with F when it comes to travel is fear. If you want to read a State Department advisory, I always say this, I'll say it again, read the British Foreign Office advisories to their citizens, easily accessible online, and then go online and get the last 30 issues of the English language newspaper, in this case published in Guadalajara. Then make an informed decision, and then you'll know if you want to go. Back with more from the Omni Hotel right here in Atlanta, right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back.